Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome in. This is the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com, the Keystone Sports app. Talking Penn State football for the next hour or so. I'm Dustin Hawkinsmith. Greg Pickle here with me. Our good friend Todd Sadowski from Fox 43, who I like to call Todd.
Oh, I appreciate that welcome, gentlemen. Do we have a little bit to talk about or what?
We do have quite a bit to talk about. We're going to start with stock up, stock down. This will be a regular on this show throughout the season where we look back just on the general state of things and which players did well for themselves, which ones did not, coming off the App State game. That'll be an interesting conversation. We'll look at the Big Ten, what happened this past weekend, what's coming up this weekend. Jerry DiPaolo from the Pittsburgh Tribune Review is going to help us talk Penn State Pitt. And then we ourselves are going to talk Penn State Pitt with a look ahead and quarter number four. The segment right here brought to you by GoPSURV.com, where they are offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating. Right now, though, special for every home game, there will be a Keystone Sports RV. Included in that will be great products from 409 Tailgate Club, their barbecue sauces, some tailgate wine, Labatt Blue beer, even a catered barbecue meal from the 409 guys. You can't miss this unique opportunity. Go to GoPSURV.com, reserve your Keystone Sports RV today. GoPSURV.com. Let's talk stock up, stock down. Actually, Todd, before we do that, what are your just general feelings on that App State game? We got a chance to air that out a little bit. You did not. What do you think?
Well, I mean, it's the kind of scare that you want to survive for sure. I mean, things could have really went the other way. And look, my take on it, I mean, we could go on and on and on, and I'm sure you guys, look, there's a myriad of topics to discuss. But for me, it's just the appreciation of Trace McSorley. I'm sorry, but there just is. The guy's 23-5 as a starter. Could be a lot better if the defense would have played better in a lot of other games that he's been involved in. And you just do not know what the next quarterback is going to do in the fourth quarter. But to see what this guy does, I mean, imagine the narrative if just once he wasn't able to pull through to tie the game at 38, to win the game at 45-38. I mean, they scored 5 touchdowns in 7 possessions, including overtime, in the second half. Yes, he had somewhat of a poor first half. It was reminiscent of 2016, where he was a little juiced up. He kept leading the receivers a little bit too much. But in crunch time, when you need it, this guy delivered again. Off-balance throw to K.J. Hamler to get the touchdown to tie the game. So I'm just going to appreciate every bit of Trace McSorley that we can get. Thankfully, you got a senior guy like this to lead a bunch of young players to survive that game and move on. That's my take.
I think there's a deep-seated sort of lack of trust in Trace McSorley just because he doesn't look how a quarterback should look. I feel like, and I'm not talking from coaches or anybody else, I think from fans, you know, I think there's always a little bit of, you know, waiting for the other shoe to drop kind of thing.
But do you think it's respect or trust? I mean, because I trust the guy completely. The respect factor, I understand what you're saying, maybe, but I totally trust him when you need him.
So I love that. Is it safe to say that Trace McSorley's stock is up? I know you had a high opinion of him anyway, but his stock is up.
It ticked up just a little bit there.
Absolutely. I think with every clutch play that is made, and you know that game-tying touchdown to K.J. Hamler, I love the catch. You know, I think for him, what's he listed at, 5'9"?
Yeah.
For him to sky and get that ball, and really that wasn't the only clutch play, obviously, that he made. But that throw off his back foot with two guys bearing down on him, knowing full well he was going to take a shot there, that is Trace McSorley. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what he does. That's what I think Penn State fans are probably a little bit spoiled in seeing. Let's do the stock report, because that's a good jumping point for the stock up, stock down. I feel like K.J. Hamler, as obvious as it might be, I think to see his physical tools translate for him to rise to the occasion and play up whenever the game is on the line, multiple times with the game on the line, I think that's nothing but encouraging. You know, looking for a guy in the receiving game who can provide the big play threat that they lose with Deshaun Hamilton, Mike Gesicki, Saquon Barkley. I think it's K.J. Hamler who's most likely to deliver that more and more as the season goes on. 4 catches, 68 yards, and that touchdown and that big kickoff return to set all that up.
Yeah, you can't really, you know, look at his performance, his debut, any other way but to think that he's going to be a star in this Lions offense. I mean, there'll be some games where he doesn't get as many opportunities as he does as he did on Saturday, and I'm sure he'll get a long chat with the coaches about what he did to bring the ball out of the end zone on a bit of a delay. But hey, it worked, and that's the kind of guy I think you want on the field, the guy willing to take a risk because he knows that he has the ability to get upfield. Guess what? If that didn't work, Penn State probably loses the game. Instead, it worked. They go on to score. He catches the tying touchdown, and the rest is history. So, great pick, Dustin. I'm going to go with Jake Pinniger, the kicker. Perfect on extra point attempts. 32-yard field goal was true. You said it off air, Dustin, but he just had the he just looked like the guy. He just had you got the feeling that there was no moment too big for him. There's not going to be a moment too big for him. I think they got some things to figure out in the kickoff side of things. We can get into that and stock down. But in terms of just straight placement kicks and field goals, they look like they have their guy.
Imagine if he missed the extra point. I mean, seriously. Right. I mean, if it goes to 38-37 and then somehow, some way, you know, the moment does become too big for him, Greg, and he just happens to miss an extra point. I mean, I know it's a chip shot, but could have happened. I think it's a good pick. Mine's Ricky Slade as stock up, and I think the best thing to happen to Miles Sanders was Ricky Slade's touchdown run, because yeah. Miles Sanders looked good in the first half for a couple of runs. Then he started to try and bounce everything outside instead of going north-south, which they admitted as much. They talked about that at halftime, that they needed to run a little bit more north-south. And Ricky Slade just, boom, he hits that hole. I mean, he is an offensive lineman's best friend. You just got to hold your block for a fraction of a second there. He gets through the hole. He busted off that 27-yard touchdown run, or however far it was. And then the next thing you see is Miles Sanders running with a little bit more purpose north-south the next time he came out. So stock up to Ricky Slade. We're going to see a lot of him. And if he can handle pass protection a little bit better than Mark Allen can, you know, as we get into the Big Ten season, you're going to see even more Ricky Slade.
It's the Keystone Kickoff Show, talking Penn State football here with Todd Sadowski and Greg Pickle. I'm Dustin Hawkinsmith. This segment brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network and by Shotzi's Brats. Shotzi'sBrats.com. Really unbelievable. Their jumbo brats pair perfectly with any football occasion, tailgating or at home. You can check them out, Shotzi'sBrats.com. Sticking with stock up, I still think there's more up than down coming out of this. But I am with you completely that the running game and the back, that being possibly the backbone of the offense, if you need to proof of that in overtime, you know, to go four straight run plays and exert your dominance and send a message, I think, in that game that you weren't going away. Miles Sanders scores that touchdown. Ricky Slade, better than I expected him to be, even coming as a five-star. The fact that he gained 20 pounds, he looks like he's ready for that Big Ten pounding. They got a special combination there. I was really impressed, guys, with Nick Scott and his play back there, and the way that he carried himself, the leadership, that he just looked like a leader back there. And I thought he played really well, too. I don't have his numbers in front of me, but I felt like he could have been an upgrade over Troy Apke back there. I think he's paid his dues, and now as a fifth-year senior, he's earned this opportunity. And I think that how hard he had to work for it, it just shows up in how he plays the game. He's got a really good physical presence back there.
Yeah, I thought he looked okay. I mean, it's hard for me to give anyone in the secondary a passing grade outside of – you know, Amani, I'm not even going to try this morning, but he obviously makes the interception that wins the game. But I just thought their secondary was too often not good enough, and it's something.
This is our transition to stock down. Mid-sentence, we're transitioning to stock down.
Yeah, we don't have to do that quite yet. I don't know. One more stock up for me, it's Will Fries, who played what I thought was a tremendous second half and really helped Penn State's offensive line not only stay cohesive and really sort of start pushing around a tiring App State line. I thought he was good. Does that mean he's the right tackle, first teamer moving forward? Maybe not, but he has a chance to earn that right.
It's interesting because the stock ups are individuals as opposed to units. You know what I mean? I think we saw, and that's really kind of the uneven performance that we saw all around from the Nittany Lions, and whether this is the transition or not, Dustin, to the stock down part of it. But I don't think there was any unit that necessarily stood out. We can bring out KJ Hamler and say, yeah, stock up, but Juwan Johnson maybe a little stock down because he dropped a couple of key passes in situations. Brandon Polk drops a pass, then he catches the fourth down conversion. So I'm not so sure there was any units that stood out together. There was some individuals, the O-line, some guys looked good, some guys didn't. When you come to that stock up, stock down, I will say as a unit, the kick coverage team was stock down for me. I mean, especially on the kickoff return, I mean, not many times there's a guy that's already cleared of every potential would-be tackler in between the 20 and the 25. So, and you only have like three or four kickers on that roster. I don't want to see many kickoff returns, period. They should be drilling that thing halfway through the end zone and make them decide whether they need to come out. So in college, you got a guy that can decide to return it at the goal line. He basically was forced to return it.
Yeah.
That's not a good sign. You need to have a kicker that's getting some touchbacks. It wasn't a strong enough wind, I felt, where it was a situation where you couldn't get a touchback on the kick. So kickoff return team, stock down.
Which, you know, again, we discussed this a little earlier in the week. The number of really talented players who are on those kick coverage teams. I mean, it's one of the benefits of getting your roster depth back to where you want it to go. There's not really a reason for that other than guys just making mistakes. And, you know, I think there's going to be a lot on film, offense, defense, and special teams, but particularly in that kick coverage where they've got to shore it up. And there's going to be some good talking points. Pass coverage as a whole, guys were not in good spots. I don't know that the play calls were as effective as they could be. You didn't see John Reed for a pretty good chunk of time late in this game. We still don't really know why there. You knew going into App State. And App State, listen, is a good football team. I mean, I think it's one of the top probably, 40 teams in the country. They just have that mighty might reputation about them. But you have to get your ducks in a row on the defensive side of the football. You know, offensively, you knew coming in they had a lot to sort out. What is their new identity? How do they break in these new players? What's the pecking order? And you saw a little bit of rust as far as that goes. Defensively, it's the same deal. They've got to figure things out, and they got to do it now because Pitt isn't the most dynamic offense that they will see, but they're capable of beating you. And you don't want to get in this situation where you got to score 45 to win every week.
No doubt about it. Just one more stock down for me, Sean Spencer, Penn State's defensive line coach. I'm sorry, but again, we get in the situation where it looks like Penn State's defensive line is going to be a strength. James Franklin spent the entirety of the offseason, whether it was before or after two defensive ends retired, saying that this group was going to be a strength. It just wasn't consistently getting to the pass. Their pass rush was not consistent. They were not consistently making Zach Thomas's life hard. And when you have an absent pass rush and a bad defense or a bad secondary, you're not going to win too many games. So Penn State fortunate to escape, but that group needs to get it together.
Both of those complement each other, and in this case did not complement each other well. The pass rush can make life easier for the secondary. The secondary can make life easier for the pass rush. Worth saying, no Kevin Givens for a violation of team rules. No Shane Simmons. We don't know when or if both these guys will be back, maybe for Pitt, but there is some room to grow here, and you did win the game. 45-38, Penn State beating Appalachian State. They move on. They're 1-0 going into Pitt week. Another one I just want to add stock down, DeAndre Tompkins. I don't know where he was or what his role is going to be moving forward in this Penn State's passing game. But I think you'll start to see more of him going forward. We're moving on here on the Keystone Kickoff Show, looking back at the weekend in Big Ten football and ahead to the weekend coming up. Stick around. It was so nice. GoPSURV.com had to do it twice. Our guy Mark once again doing half price RV sales for Penn State, Kent State. So if you've been looking for a chance to check out what GoPSURV.com has to offer, you get a second chance that weekend. You can come see what they have to offer, including the Friday night before the game. You can check out 409 Tailgate Club Barbecue, Tailgate Wine, Labatt Blue Beer, and Shotzi's Brats. GoPSURV.com lot has so many other features as well. You can check them all out at GoPSURV.com.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.